The Last Words of Jesus to His Disciples, Chapter 76. Judas, the betrayer, is gone. With hatred and rage in his heart, he leaves the room where they were eating the Passover and hurries through the dark streets of Jerusalem to the rulers of the Jews to inform them the opportune time has arrived to capture Jesus of Nazareth. But we will return to the room where Jesus is. The Lord Jesus and the other 11 disciples eat the Passover supper. The Paschal Lamb pointed to the Messiah, whose blood would be shed for the sins of his people. For many centuries the Jews have slain and eaten that lamb. For the unconverted Jews, this was only a form and nothing else. But the Jews who feared God in truth saw by faith in this event the coming of the Messiah, who would ransom them from sin and take away the curse which lay upon them. Here, in this room, the Lord Jesus eats the Passover with his disciples for the last time. The Lord, who has no sin, also eats the Passover. He does not eat it for himself. He has no need of the cleansing blood of the Savior. The reason Jesus eats the lamb with his disciples, although he has no sin, is because he does it as the surety and Savior for his people. You can grasp the meaning of that, can't you? After the eating of the Passover, the Lord Jesus takes bread, breaks it, and gives it to his disciples with these words, "Take, eat, this is my body." Afterwards, he takes the cup of wine, gives thanks, and likewise gives it to the disciples, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Drink ye all of it." Why does the Lord do this? What is the meaning? I think most of you can answer these questions. At this time, the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Holy Communion is another name for it. This Holy Communion did not exist in the Old Testament. Until now, the Jews celebrated the Passover each year. At that time, the Paschal Lamb was slain. Thus, blood was shed. This blood pointed to the blood of the Savior who would come. But the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, must die. He is ready to enter into death. His blood will stain the hill of Golgotha. And shortly, when the Lord Jesus has died, his death will be an atonement for all the sins of his people. Then it will no longer be necessary for the Paschal Lamb to be slain. There is no longer the necessity for blood to flow. For this reason, the celebration of the Passover falls away, and the Lord Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper in its place. Blood flowed with the two sacraments of the Old Testament, namely circumcision and the Passover. No blood flows with the two sacraments of the New Testament, namely baptism and communion. Communion is still celebrated. You have seen it often, haven't you? However, the Passover of formerly and the communion of today have the same meaning. Both point to the Savior. The bread which is broken in the Lord's Supper points to the body of the Lord Jesus. The wine which is poured into the cup points to his blood which was shed upon Golgotha's height. The Roman Catholics say the bread actually changes into the body of the Lord Jesus, and the wine actually changes into blood. But this is not true. It is a lie. The bread remains bread and the wine remains wine, but the outward signs mean the body and the blood of the Savior. This portion is difficult, isn't it? Did you understand it? After the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus says, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." It is as if the Lord says, "All of you will be displeased with me tonight. I will be taken from you, and you will be scattered." With bewildered faces, the disciples stare at their master. What does he mean with those words? Offended? Why? Jesus will be taken away? Where is he going? What is going to happen? They do not know. You can be sure they were sad. But the Lord Jesus says something else. He tells them the separation will not be forever. It will not be always. No, he will arise from the dead, and he will go to Galilee. Jesus says, "I will go before you into Galilee." They must follow him, and there they shall see their beloved master. The disciples hear these words, but they do not understand. They absolutely do not know what Jesus means. However, one of the disciples shakes his head decidedly. He does not believe the words of the Lord Jesus. "Who is he? Do you know the answer?" "This man is Peter." "What? Be offended? Be displeased with his master? Never! No, never! Will he, who loves his master so dearly, be displeased with him?" Oh no! This time the Lord Jesus is mistaken. Ah yes, it is very possible for the other disciples to be offended, but he never will be offended, never. On the contrary, he will defend his master, even if it would cost him his life. He not only thinks this, but he says it too. Record what is written in Matthew. "Though all men shall be offended because of thee," Peter says, "yet will I never be offended." At this moment, Peter actually meant it. He believes he never would be capable of doing such a thing. The Lord Jesus looks at his disciple and answers earnestly, "Verily I say unto thee, this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Jesus warns Peter not to have such a high opinion of himself. It is as if the Lord says, "O Peter, you now think you would give your life to defend me. You think you can do it in your own strength. But you are wrong. Afterward, when the danger has come, you will forget the words you now speak. You will then forsake me. Yes, to save yourself, you will deny me. You will say you do not know me. You will say I am a stranger to you. You will deny me not once, but three times." However, the Lord Jesus adds something else. "Listen, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." What does the Lord mean with these words? Listen attentively. The Lord Jesus knows Peter will deny him. But afterward, Peter will repent of this dreadful sin. Because of this committed evil, Peter will be ashamed and grieved. Yes, he almost will come to despair. And if the Lord Jesus did not pray for him, he would go to the halter and deprive himself of his life. But this will not happen. He will not be a self-murderer, a suicide. Why not? The Lord will keep him from this, for a self-murderer is lost. And Peter will not go lost because his Savior prayed for him and that is faith fail not. Peter, who thinks he loves the Lord Jesus more than any of the other disciples, will be the one to fall into the greatest sin. The other disciples will be offended because of their master. They will be displeased with the Lord Jesus and forsake him, but above this, Peter will also deny him thrice. And now, does Peter believe what Jesus tells him? Why, no. Possibly a smile came upon his face, a smile of unbelief. His master thinks far too little of him. No, he is not so bad. What do you think? Listen to his answer upon this serious warning of the Lord. Lord, he says, and his voice rings resolutely, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. You can depend upon me. Neither do the other disciples believe the words of their Savior. They cannot believe they will become offended with their beloved Master. They all assure Jesus they will defend him in the hour of danger. They will reckon with all those who dare venture harming Jesus. They will fight like lions to deliver their Master. His many enemies will not get him into their hands. They will see to that. That night, the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples about many other things, but I cannot tell you about them all. They are too difficult for you to understand. Briefly, I will name a few things. He told them he would be taken away from among them. They would be sad, very sad, but they also would be made glad. The disciples assured Jesus they would give their lives to defend him. But Jesus reverses that. No, he says seriously, you will not give your lives for me. You all will forsake me. You will flee and leave me alone. But I will give my life for you. I will enter death for you, so you shall live eternally. I will suffer and die to deliver you from the wrath of God. I will make an atonement and will take from you the guilt and blemish of sin. The disciples stare at Jesus with large questioning eyes. They do not understand the meaning of Jesus' words. They are so anxious to help him. They would like to do something for him. They still must learn they can do nothing. He, and he only, shall bear the wrath of God against sin. Besides, the Lord Jesus tells them they shall be hated by the Jewish people. The Jews have hated the Lord. They shall also hate his disciples. The followers of the King of Israel shall be cast into prison. Yes, even some of them shall be killed. But, the Lord says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He means, when this takes place, do not become discouraged. Do not become sad. You must not think I have left you, for I will never leave you. This means that even though the Lord Jesus soon will go to heaven, still from the lofty heavens he will care for his disciples. And even though they shall be slain, he will take them to himself into eternal glory. I will not tell you any more about this. Try to remember what I have told you. Read those chapters of God's Word for yourself. The Lord Jesus not only will take care of his disciples, he will take care of all his people. He will watch over them. God's people surely are blessed, aren't they? They have a king in heaven who cares for them. protects them and keeps them. Their Savior always watches over them for their welfare. The wicked do not have this great privilege. They have no king in heaven who cares for them, protects them, and keeps them for their good. No, they serve another prince, the devil. They are slaves of the prince of darkness, and one day they, with Satan, shall be cast into eternal damnation. The difference between the righteous and the wicked is great. To whom do you belong? By nature we all lie dead in sins and transgressions. We lie under the power of Satan. We are enemies of the Lord Jesus. We are not going lost. No, we are lost. But this king is able to bring us out of and deliver us from our state of misery. Shouldn't we ask for it? Shouldn't we plead with him for pity, for mercy? You still live under the offer of grace. God still permits you to be called by his servants. Do not despise the callings of God. The door of mercy is still open. When death comes, the day of grace is past eternally.